A difference, like we are a relatively small church, one church, two locations, Fremantle and Wellard. But man, just to be in Liberia and to see the people so thankful. We've been partnering with the people of Liberia for 8 years now, and for the first couple of years, I think it was more relationship, and we didn't have such a the missions program has grown in scope and in what we've done for them. And so I think initially for them it was a faith thing. You know, we were partnered with them, but we hadn't done much tangible. But just going there, because I've been there, this is my second time going to Liberia, and last time I went was in October 2017. And since then, we've helped put a water hand pump in at C3 Gorlu. They had no fresh running water there. They had to trek for kilometers to go and get water from the river, and that's been life-changing for that village. We've started the foundations of a school and a church facility in Kakata, and then like C3 Painesville, we helped to put in a toilet facility, and they one of the only they are I think the only school in that city that actually has flush toilets. All the rest are still using drop toilets. And I had this experience of us being there and just everyone being so thankful, everyone being so appreciative and grateful for, all our support and how we continue to, subsidize their school fees by helping the teachers with their salaries and things like that. So I just want to say again, guys, thank you to each and every one of you who gives to all our programs, to the Leap into Spring, to the building, and to our tithes and offerings. You can see that we're making a difference in people's lives. There's children there who are being educated, and all that they have to pay is a 2,000 Liberian dollar registration fee once a year, which is, it's currently 200-1, so that works out 10 US dollars is all the kids have to pay, and they're getting this top class, private education because of all your faithful giving to Leap into Spring. So, you're making the difference in about 100 kids' lives, that are getting educated that otherwise wouldn't have any hope of a future. And things are really tough in Liberia. The new government there, everyone's just saying, Barry, since the last time you were here 2 years ago, it's only got worse. And it wasn't very great to start with 2 years ago. So I just felt this real, everyone being so thankful, so grateful. So, thank you to each and every one of you who supports that. It was a blessing to be there. I'm glad and I'm thankful that God brought me back safely. It's nice to be here at C3 Wellard. I feel like there's a bit of a gap over here, but I know that we had, Steve Underwood had his 70th birthday party last night, and I feel like maybe some people didn't want to come to church after that, or whatever reason, you never know. I'm not sure if there was a death. I think there was a death recently in the African family as well, so that's maybe attributed to. But we're not going to let numbers dictate the gravity of what we do here today. Whether it's, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in his name, there I will be also. And whether I'm preaching to two people or to 20 people or to 100 people, I'm still going to bring the word. I'm still going to, believe God that he'll bring freedom and breakthrough in our lives. And church, I think we just have a time quickly to just greet each other. But let's just give Jesus a hand right now for just everything he's doing in the city. Just to be in church. It's the best, it's the best place to start your week here in church, getting that life that we all need. We can so get bogged down in our week, but man, when you're here in church and you just have that refocus, God, what's really important? And it's all about Jesus, all about God, it's all about spreading the word, and just to be reminded of that once a week is so good. So anyway, I just take a moment to greet the people around you, the people you haven't said hi to. I'm going to do the same. Awesome. Well, that didn't take very long. Not many people, but that's all good. The message I want to speak on today is something that I felt brewing for a while, but even being in Africa, it quickened it in my spirit. It's just, you know, there's people in this place in Africa. I was just looking around at all the people's faces, and like some of those people, they have to trek, you know, ages to get to church by foot. None of them have vehicles. You know, sometimes I was just thinking, while we were there, we had a Holy Spirit meeting on the Friday night, the Saturday night, the Sunday night, and also a combined meeting on the Sunday. And here were these people that there's so many, you know, there was people that were coming late to church because they're small business owners trying to sell their wares on the side of the road. And, you know, they were like, oh, we're just going to make the most of this little bit of time that we have left at the end of the day. And they were coming late to the meetings, which is fine. But just for me, it was like, for some people there, it was really inconvenient to get to church, really inconvenient to serve God in some ways, really inconvenient, you know. And I just want to bring a message this morning about how sometimes we can look at the things of God and see them as uncomfortable, see them as inconvenient, see them as challenging. And I want to talk today about inconvenient Jesus. That's just a message that I've been thinking about. You know, we hear about Jesus being this almost like a life enhancement drug, almost like a take this pill of Jesus and everything's going to be better and your life's going to be totally transformed and changed. And yes, it does. Like Jesus brings life, Jesus brings salvation. But sometimes Jesus and the message of Jesus challenges us in a way that's inconvenient. Sometimes being here at 10 a.m. on a Sunday is not all convenient with the frantic things that are going on, all the events that are going on. And I just want to say, guys, I really feel that there's going to be a blessing resting on you, a favor resting on you for being here this morning, for putting Jesus first. And not because of like it's a ritual or it's a religious act, but it's just like, when we do things that are, in our eyes, inconvenient for Jesus, you know, God makes up that difference. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. I truly believe that. And even if God calls you to do something that on the face value is inconvenient, I think it will be worth it at the end of the day, because God's all about, you know, growing us, discipling us, maturing us in the things of faith. And sometimes that growth looks inconvenient or uncomfortable. Anyway, probably this message is not one that you'd often hear in modern church circles. You know, like I said, people teach that, you know, Jesus is going to make your life better. And, you know, I do believe that with God, your marriage is going to be better. Your relationships with people around you is going to be better. You're going to be less selfish as a person and more serving of others. So there are many ways that Jesus does make your life better, and there will be long-term benefits for you and the people around you, guaranteed, and your community. On the whole, if you do live life in a way that's in line with Jesus' teachings, it'll probably be better for you, provided being a Christian in your country is not legal, of course, because then almost certainly it's not going to be. But luckily, we don't live in a country where it's illegal. Yes, it's frowned upon to share your faith, but it's not illegal yet. But, you know, there are many times when picking up the cross of Jesus and following after him is a very real thing. It feels like a cross. It feels like a weight. But let me encourage you, Jesus also says that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Anyway, we're going to talk about the truth of inconvenient Jesus, and we're going to dive into the Word of God today. So I want to actually share two scriptures. And I want you to start getting this picture of these are people in the book of Acts where they were living out this gospel of Jesus. They were this message of Jesus was making an impact not only on their own lives but also on their communities in a way that was highly inconvenient. And in the two examples that we'll look at, it was having an inconvenient effect on people's pockets, on people's finances. But that's just the example that I'm going to use. Sometimes God calls us to do that, but we talk about that enough in this church, but I'm just going to use it as some example, and then I'm going to branch off from there and look at other ways that following Jesus can maybe be inconvenient, but still worth it. Amen? Amen. Acts 16, 16 to 19 in the NIV. Acts 16, 16 to 19. All right. So once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave. Some of you will know the story. Who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. Lean in here. This is where Jesus starts to become quite inconvenient. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. That's one area that I want to look at. From there, Paul and Silas are actually flogged and they're thrown into jail. The people of Philippi found this action of this young girl being set free from demon possession. I mean, you look at that and you think, man, that is awesome. That's the freedom that we've been talking about all year in Luke 4:18. I mean, she was living with this oppression, this spirit. Yes, we told about the financial benefits that she was bringing to her slave owners, but can you imagine what it was doing to her living with this thing on the inside? And yet she gets free, and all these people can think of is, wow, my ability to make a quick buck is gone. You know, who knows how they were benefiting financially for these predictions. Maybe she was foretelling maybe they had the equivalent of the horse racing, and she was giving them the predictions on the TAB, and they were locking in their picks, and then their horses were coming in first. Who knows? Maybe that was the kind of things that she was, you know, telling them the winning lotto numbers, so to speak. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, it could have been gambling related. We don't know. Maybe the spirit was telling them, you know, which fighters would win at the local gladiator tournament or something like that. But anyway, that aside, they were making money. They were benefiting from something that was dark, something that was bringing someone so much pain, anguish, suffering on the inside. And yet all they could see was, this is convenient for me, for her to be in slavery, in bondage, bound by the enemy. Anyway, whatever it was, the people were unhappy with these men because the powers of light had shut down the works of darkness and brought them their profit. Have you ever profited from something that was not strictly legal or honest, or that you didn't approach in an honest way? I know I probably have. You know, sometimes it's easy to just not speak up or not, you know, to not actually, if you're going to be benefiting in some way, to not actually challenge that thing because it's inconvenient or it's bringing you some kind of profit. Anyway, before we dig into any of that, I'd like to read our second passage for this morning. And I usually don't like to bring two passages. I like to have one key passage because we just want to bring through one key idea. But this one is in such harmony with what we've just read that I think it's important. And I love reading about Acts, the early church, because I believe that's the model that we should be following as believers in Christ. So I want to bring one more bit of word, if that's okay with you guys. Acts 19, 23 to 30. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together, along with the workers in related trades, and said, "You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business." So these guys are making silver gods to this false god, and they're selling them to the people who are worshiping this false god. And now because of Jesus, there's people turning away from this false god and no longer buying these idols. So we in verse 25, he called them together along with the workers and related trades and said, you know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul was convinced and led he was convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He saw that gods made by human hands are, no, sorry, he says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. I mean, isn't that true? Gods made by human hands are no gods at all. There is danger not only here to our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. I find it so interesting. This god was so weak that she couldn't even defend herself. She needed these silversmiths who were benefiting from selling her idols to defend her. But anyway, when they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Soon the whole city was in uproar. The people seized Gaius and Aristarchus, forgive me, my Greek is rusty, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, and all of them rushed into the theater together. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we begin to break down the word this morning. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Help us to put you first in all areas of our lives, even when we stand to lose something or it's inconvenient for whatever reason. Help us to not back down from your amazing message of love, truth, and hope. Teach us to speak boldly in your name and help us by your Holy Spirit to live out your perfect example of Jesus in our daily lives. Show us areas of our lives that we are ignoring because they will be too inconvenient for us to change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are there things in your life? Are there areas you need to deal with? Maybe there's things that, you know, God's been speaking to you for a while about, hey, I don't think that's so healthy for you. I don't think you should be involved with those people right now. I think that you used to do that thing and get joy from it, but now you're a new creation in Christ. You're a new creature. You need to die to those old way of being and be raised to a new life in Christ, that resurrection life. I want to consider first, are there things in our life, church, that are a bit inconvenient to stop? Are there things that would be too inconvenient to stop, so we're hanging on to them? You know, things that maybe they aren't bringing you financial gain, like for these people in the two stories that we read. But nonetheless, you know, they would ultimately change your life in a drastic way or cause you to go in a direction that's inconvenient to go. What's inconvenient in your life to stop? I know when I was first made the offer to come on staff for Pastor Nige, you know, giving up my non-destructive testing job, which was quite lucrative and would have been as I got more and more experience in it, giving that up for the sake of ministry, you know, that was quite inconvenient to stop. But I want to tell you another story of when I was in high school. I don't talk much about my high school days. You know, it was quite difficult growing up in Zimbabwe and we went through some tough times, but I want to tell a story that probably most of you can relate to. So, you know, in high school, it's that time where you kind of, you are still finding yourself and you want to sort of appeal to people. You kind of start acting like cool and dressing a certain way so that you'll get accepted. You know, and there's all this sort of jockeying for the cool kids, you know, crowd or whatever. And once we moved from the rural area to the city, I went to an all-boys school. I was actually at a mixed school before that. But at this all-boys school, it was supposedly a Catholic school, but that many of you who've been to, like, I think Catholic schools will know that doesn't really mean much in terms of the caliber of the people that attended. But anyway, it's a Catholic school, all-boys school, and there was this really cool clique of guys who I used to hang out with. And they were all the, like, you know, the sportsmen, and they were all, like, sort of relatively good-looking guys, so they were always popular with the ladies and things like that. And so I was like, you know, being young high school age barrier. I was like, I want to be like these guys, hang around with them, and, you know, just, but the thing is, like, God was also growing me in my walk with him, and, you know, there was things where I was starting to change my life, some of them quite innocently, to sort of align with these guys and sort of be more accepted by them. And for one example of something innocent is, I never used to watch the Formula One, but these guys used to watch it avidly. And every Monday that we'd come to school, we'd have our break period, and then all they'd talk about was, oh, did you see what Schumacher did there, or that big spin out, and Raikkonen, he like got taken out, or, oh, did you see that big smash up in the wet, and then they were debating the Bridgestone tires over the Firestone tires, and all these kind of things that I had no idea about. But because of that, like, I went home and I said to my parents, I want to start watching the Formula One. I just, you know, all my friends are talking about this at school, and I want to be part of that. And so I started watching it, and even my parents got into it eventually, and we were all like, you know, really, you get into it first, you're just looking at it like, oh, it's just cars going around a track. But when you really get into all the stats and what's happening and where the rankings are and all this, you know, you can really get into something. And that was, I suppose, innocent. But there was another side to it which started to grieve me more and more, and that was that, you know, these guys, I would never go out night clubbing or drinking or anything like that, but these were the guys who pretty much every weekend they would go out to this club called Siberia, and they used to just have all these stories about what went on the weekend, and some of the things that they spoke about were just so crude and so just like just not edifying at all. And it was like the Spirit of God in me was like, man, you got to stop hanging around with these guys. Like, I thought, you know, initially you think, like, oh, maybe me being there, I can make a difference. I can speak life. I can turn the conversation away from those things. And I can make a difference where I'm at. But I found that the more I was there, because they were in the majority and because they got such a thrill out of these things, I didn't want to add anything, but I just also, the conversation, no matter what I said, just perpetuated, and it started getting, you know, I think that's how sin works, is that, you know, you have that initial taste and it gets deeper and deeper, and the things that they started talking about was even more and more warped by the week, and I just felt like in my heart of hearts, God, this is going to be inconvenient for me to no longer hang out with these guys. You know, I formed friendships with them. They got to know me. And then, you know, like when I'm walking there, hey, Bazza, how's it going, mate? How are you doing? And, you know, but it's inconvenient for me to stop that. But eventually I had to. I just felt, God, I having a relationship with you and not grieving your Spirit is more important to me than the relationship that I have with these guys. And, you know, I probably stuck around in there a little bit longer than I should have because it was too inconvenient to stop. And like as we ponder this thought, what in your life is too inconvenient to stop? You know, yours may not necessarily be an unhealthy relationship like mine was, but maybe you need to get out of something. You know that you have, maybe you have got unhealthy friends that cause you to blaspheme more than you like, or cause you to, I don't know, smoke weed or drink too much, or, you know, on the extreme. But maybe the thing that you need to stop with the Lord's help, you know, could be something a bit less innocent. Maybe it's not necessarily a relationship. Maybe it's something that you just know, it's a habitual sin that you caught in, that you know you need to stop that thing that you're addicted to. Maybe it's, like I said, alcohol abuse or drug abuse, or maybe pornography. Maybe there's some area of unholiness in your life that you need to, a secret habitual sin that you need to give to God, lay it at the foot of the cross and say, God, I want to be a new creation in Christ. I no longer want to do those things. And maybe you need to even find someone who you trust in the church, a brother or sister in Christ, and say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. Can you help me? Can you keep me accountable? Can you just check in with me, see how I'm going? You know, maybe you need to deal with elements of your character that you've simply given up working on. You're like, man, I'm known as the person who always loses their cool like this. I'm known as like the fiery, feisty, tempered person. And I know God says that we shouldn't be like that, or we shouldn't be arrogant, or we shouldn't, but like that's just the way I am. Maybe you keep falling into the area of gluttony or laziness, and you just know that you should be more productive, but you just like, man, that's how I've always been. I don't want to change. It's too inconvenient for me to stop doing that. Or maybe you just speak critically of others the whole time, and then afterwards you get a check and you're like, man, I shouldn't have said that so harshly, or I shouldn't have been so judgmental. But you just keep doing it because it's too inconvenient for you to work on. It's too inconvenient for you to change your identity. But be encouraged. You're not alone. No one here is perfect. The only perfect person was Jesus. I want to read Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And maybe you think it's too hard to do, to change that thing, to get rid of that area, to get rid of that unhealthy relationship or that characteristic. Well, you're right. On your own, it's way too inconvenient to stop. But Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Might be a journey, but you can do this, church. Let me encourage you. You can change. You can become a new creature with God's help. You can put these things to death with God's help. It may be a slow and painful journey, but the Holy Spirit is faithful, and he's a comforter, and he helps us change our ways and look more to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Voice says this. Now all of us, with our faces unveiled, reflect the glory of God as if we are mirrors. And so we are being transformed, metamorphosed into his same image from one radiance of glory to another. But look, who's accomplishing it? Just as the Spirit of the Lord accomplishes it. Where you've got a motivation to change and you give it to Jesus and you keep praying about it, I promise you, you'll see breakthrough. Through Christ, we can be new creations, new creatures. The Holy Spirit helps us to morph into images of God and images of God's perfect Son, Christ Jesus. Now, we've had to think of the bad things in our life that we need to stop, but I want to look at a second thing as well, is what in your life is inconvenient to start? You know, kind of like how we should, you know, we know things like this even in the natural. Maybe you know you should start eating healthier. Or you know you should start going to the gym a little bit more because it'll help you with your longevity of life. You know, we also, when it comes to spiritual health, we all have weaknesses or things that we should probably be working on more. Maybe we should start praying a little bit more, start getting up earlier, making time for God in our lives. Maybe there's areas that we are challenged to improve, things that we need to start doing because it says that we should be doing these things in God's word. You know, I know I don't step out nearly enough in the area of telling people the good news of Jesus for the fear of maybe what they'll think or the persecution that will come. Maybe that's an area we need to start more, where it's inconvenient to talk to people about Jesus. It might prove, in some cases, career suicide, but, you know, what is inconvenient to start? Maybe I'm a little afraid of what people will think. Maybe I'm a little too tired to deal with the response of what people will do when I'm talking about Jesus. Whatever the excuse, evangelizing others with the good news of the gospel, or even just simply inviting people to church, are definitely areas that I myself struggle with and find inconvenient at times. You know, what are other things that God might be calling you to do? Or maybe ministries that you've always had a passion to start, or areas of church where you feel, oh, I could serve there, I could help there, but the inconvenience of it all holds you back. You're just like, man, that's going to mean getting here way earlier on a Sunday, or that's going to mean going there during the week to run a prayer service, or, you know, there's so many ways that, or things that God might be putting on your heart that, hey, you should start that, or hey, you can do that, and you think, you're like, man, that's so inconvenient. Giving up your time and energy for the things of Jesus is inconvenient. But, you know, as we saw in our series in Ecclesiastes earlier this year, giving up your dreams and your plans to pursue God's kingdom, and you know, that's where you find true purpose, true meaning in your life. You know, when I first, the church that I first grew up in back in Zimbabwe, they had this culture where you didn't really serve. They had this small group of young adults who after high school went through this group called, they called it the Timothy group, and the idea was that, you know, the elders and the pastors in the church were like a Paul figure, and all the youngsters in the group were like Timothy figures, and they were like giving them teaching for life to set them up in the things of God. But with that, as general congregation members, you didn't really serve, because it was seen that in this model of church, the Timothy group did everything. So they were the ushers, they were the door greeters, they were the people who ran the youth and the kids ministries. And so as just a general member of the congregation, like, you didn't really have much to do. You just came and you soaked, and it was just normal not to serve. But I feel like there's such discipleship and growth that can come from serving. And it was, you know, there was many awesome things about the church that I grew up in, but I feel like this was one area possibly where they weren't, and since then they've changed, and they've opened up their serving to allow other peoples to outwork their giftings. They always had people who were gifted on the worship team, but they've now opened up all the other areas of service to others. You know, and so fast forward, when I came to Australia for the first time 5 years ago, and I saw that pretty much every church I went to had this culture of serving. And it was like a little bit of a culture shock to me. I was like, wow, there's something here about, like, you know, not just letting one or two people in the church carry the burden and do everything, but each and every one of us is gifted in a unique way. Each and every one of us God has made in such a way that we can reach people, you know, together, united as a body, we can reach people much more than just one of us or two of us could. And I just saw such a truth in that we all need to be growing in our walk with Jesus, you know, trying different things, serving in different areas. And, you know, it took me about 2 years of sort of being like, oh, Lord, do I really want to, you know, I knew I was gifted musically, but do I really want to give up my, you know, Tuesdays to come to practice? Do I really want to get to church that early and every week and then serve on the worship team? You know, it's a little bit inconvenient for me. I've got so many better things to do with my time, so many better things to do. And, you know, but God wouldn't stop giving me this feeling on the inside of, you know, I could be doing more for His church. I could be doing more to build the body, to bring something fresh, to bring something that He'd put only in me. And if I hadn't stepped out serving on the Frio worship team when I did, I almost definitely wouldn't have been given the awesome opportunity that I have now, where, you know, Pastor Nigel and the church board, they identified that this was someone who was serving, who was just, you know, had a heart just to help in the church. And I didn't have that initially. You know, I had this inconvenient to help sort of mentality. But because of that, the board gave me this awesome opportunity as a trainee pastor. And I just want to say, church, you never know what God can do in your life when you shun that inconvenience. When you say, I don't care how inconvenient it is, I'm going to put God first and step out into something that He's calling me to start. You know, another thing to consider, if you're feeling you want to step out into a new area for God, but it's too hard or too inconvenient, is that we should never forget the price, you know, Jesus paid to save you, and all that God has done for us through Jesus' sacrifice. The blood He shed for us, the pain and the suffering He went through, would have been super inconvenient for Him at the time. Now, I think that's an understatement. I don't think the word inconvenience measures up. And really, that's all it is for us, a small inconvenience. If I could get the worship team up, we are going to start coming to a close. But I also just want to, I wanted to give a shorter message today, because I believe that there's people here who needed to hear this word to not only let go of things that are inconvenient to stop and sort of start the catalyst on that journey, but also maybe there's things God has been speaking to you about, and just like sort of that release to, I want to walk into those new things, Lord. I want to be challenged to be a little more, you know, inconvenient for Your sake. You know, Jesus suffered the most inconvenient thing for our sake. Our response to God's amazing love extended to us through Jesus' death and resurrection, it should motivate us to get past any inconveniences and get busy with building God's kingdom. Life is short, the harvest is ripe, and people are perishing for lack of knowledge of the good news of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus died on a cross to save each and every one of us from our sins, from our the consequences of that sin, which is death. You know, and to prove that this was complete, he not only said it was finished, but he rose again on the third day. Jesus did all these super inconvenient things for us. What can we do for him? What can we do for our inconvenient Savior, our Savior who suffered the most tragic inconvenience of all? Let's all try and be a little bit more inconvenient for Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, Jesus was the only way of for us to get out of a really difficult situation. The wages of our sin, the wages of our mistakes, a righteous God giving us what we deserved would have been to send us all to sin and punishment. You know, like a good judge would not see a rapist or a murderer come before him and say, "Oh yeah, mate, it's not that bad. I'll just forgive you this time if you won't do it again." You know, God is that. God isn't an unjust judge like that. He gives us the wages of all the punishment, all the wrath that we deserve, all the things that we've done wrong in our lives. But here's the good news. Jesus stepped in our place. He paid that fine for us. He took the punishment in our place. He lived a perfect life. And he took it all the wrath of God, all the pain, all the suffering that we've caused because we've lived apart from God, because we've lived in a way that's not his way. Jesus took that all so that we could be right with God. Jesus is perfection for our imperfection. Would have been so inconvenient for Jesus to do at the time. You know, he prayed a famous prayer to God the Father, you know, when he was in the garden asking for another way out. "Lord, if there's any way, take this cup from me." That's how hard it was for Jesus at the time. And God's response was, "No, you got to go through this because I love my sons and daughters. I want to give them grace, mercy, forgiveness. I want to give them what they don't deserve." Jesus saw it through. He did it for you and me because of his great love for us. He died on a cross for you. I'd like it to take a moment now for people here to get right with God. Church, if we can be upstanding, I just want to give a moment now for people to get their relationship with God right. You know, Christianity is not about doing all the right religious rituals and checking a bunch of boxes so that one day you'll get to heaven. It's about a personal relationship, a personal walk with a loving Heavenly Father who went the extra mile for us, who stepped out and sent his only son, Jesus, to die for your sins. Following Jesus, although at times may seem inconvenient, is the best decision you can make with your life. Romans 10 verse 9, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That's a promise from God for you. Let's pray this prayer together, church. Whether you're making a decision for Jesus for the first time, or maybe you've been walking your own way and you want to come back into relationship with God. Maybe God's been talking about things that you need to let go of, things that you need to start, and you've been disobedient. You've been like, "God, I can't do that. That's too inconvenient." And because of that, your relationship with God is not as tight as it used to be. I want to give an opportunity now for you to get right with God, to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I want to come back to you. I want to be living your life." Let's pray this prayer together, church, for the benefit of people coming back to God or coming to God for the first time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, thank you for loving me enough to send your son, Jesus, to die in my place. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. I believe that Jesus died and rose again on the third day to save me from my sin. Today, I repent and turn from my old ways. No matter how inconvenient, from this day forward, I will live for you. Today, I start afresh, forgiven and washed clean by your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just keep our head bowed, our eyes closed just for a moment now? If you made that decision for Jesus for the first time, if you can just pop up your hand right now and I'll see it. This is the first time you prayed a prayer like that and you want to come into relationship with Jesus, you prayed that prayer and you meant it, just raise your hand right now. I'll see it and you can pop it down. And if you're here today and you know that for whatever inconvenience or whatever reason, you've been walking your own way, you haven't been as tight with God as you should be, and you prayed that prayer and you officially want to come back into relationship with God, you want to be challenged by the new things He wants you to step into, if that's you, if you feel like, Lord, I've been maybe running at low tempo and I need to be refreshed, I need to be reconnected, and I need to again start walking for you in a more serious way. If that's you and you want to get right with God right now, please just raise your hand as well. I'll see it. You can pop it down. I just want to pray a quick prayer with you. Is there anyone else? There's one person who's responded who wants to again be on fire for God, again let go of anything that's holding them back. Is there anyone else here? Church, just give me a moment to pray with this brother. Just keep your eyes closed, head bowed. Father God, I just want to pray for this awesome man right now. Lord, you know the desires of his heart, and his heart is one that cries out to you, Lord, and he wants to, again, make a recommitment to you, Lord, to get right with you and to be running after you wholeheartedly because of the amazing sacrifice of Jesus that has moved him yet again. Father God, we just pray that there will be a new freedom on his life. Lord, we pray that he will be stepping into new things for you. Anything that's been inconvenient to let go of, Father God, give him the strength. Holy Spirit, help him to let go of them in Jesus' name. Break them off his life in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's things that you're speaking to him about, ministries that you want him to start, that he's thought maybe this is going to be uncomfortable, or maybe what will people think about me? Lord, take those thoughts away in Jesus' name. Lord, let him have a boldness and a courage to step out for you, to just run for your things and do your things in Jesus' name. Lord, there's so many people that he can still reach with the life that he has left in him. And Lord, we just pray that when he gets to heaven one day, there will be a harvest of souls because of this line in the sand that you're drawing, that he's stepping out again for you, that he's renewing his relationship with you. Lord, touch him right now. Holy Spirit, fill him right now. Lord, it's not an easy walk, but it's such a worthy walk, a rewarding walk. And Lord, we just pray right now that you will just help him finish the race and complete the job that the Lord God has given him in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand right now. As I said earlier, church, if you were moved by this message, if you feel like, God, there's areas that I need to stop doing, that I need to cut off my life, or God, there's areas you're speaking to me, new things, new ideas you've been giving me, and I'm just a little timid. I just don't want to step out in those things right now. If either of those two things have spoken to you, if you can just come out to the front right now. I want to just have a time of ministry. And then I also want to pray for people. If you're here and you maybe have a family member who's struggling with a sickness or a disease or an infirmity, or maybe you've got family members that you want to come into the kingdom of God, that you've been praying for, people that you know, you just feel you need to stand in the gap for. If you've got people that you want to believe that Jesus is going to break through in their lives, that they're going to get the revelation, if you need prayer for that as well, please come forward. And any other things that you need prayer for, please come forward right now, guys. It's good to get prayer. It's good to seek the Holy Spirit. Just come right forward. Yeah, don't be scared. Maybe you're going into a new season of life and you just want God to be by your side and to just break through on your life. Whatever it is, if you need prayer for whatever reason, please just respond right now. Now is the moment. We've got 5 to 10 minutes to just take a moment to believe God that he's going to bring breakthrough, and prayer is the means that we bring breakthrough in our life. Please don't be scared. Now is the moment. I'm not going to pray for people after the service today. This is your moment if you need prayer. Just give it a moment. All right.
Move in his